Okay, so we're going to start the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah says like this. The previous Mishnah was talking about, you know, testimony, valid testimony, not valid testimony. So now the Gemara says like this. Ve'elu nemen lahoid begedlon. Certain things, people are believed to testify when they're an adult. Masherol bekeit, when they saw when they were a kid. Now what you see as a kid, if you testify when you're a kid, it's no good because a kid can't be an eight. The question is, certain things, we'll see rabbinic things, the Chacham said, if the kid now is, let's say, 15, and he says, I remember when I was a kid, this and this took place. So certain things we believe him. Certain things not, certain things not. And this is what the Mishnah is going to say. For instance, Naman Adam Lemer, a person is believed to say, Zek Savyadu Shalaba. This is my father's handwriting. You know, in other words, you have to validate witnesses, right? So you need to know, was this guy's signature? So now a 15-year-old kid says, I remember when I was a kid, this was my father's handwriting. Or, Zaksav Yodish Rabbi, this is my Rebbe's handwriting. Zaksav Yodish Achi, this is the handwriting of my brother. Or, Zachar Ayisi Beplenis, I remember, again, he's an adult now, but he's testified what he remembers when he was a kid. I remember when I was a kid about this certain woman, Shiyata Bein Numa, she went out with a veil, Vereisha Prua, and her hair was down. In other words, the question is, a woman got married, she says I was a psula when I got married, therefore my ksuba is 200, the husband says, no you weren't, you were not a virgin, and therefore your ksuba is 100. So now this 15-year-old, or older, whatever, is testifying, I remember when this girl got married, I remember the wedding. And I remember she went out with a veil, and I remember her hair was down, which was the way the normal virgin girls got married in that time. So the Mishnah says he's believed to testify what he remembers when he was a kid. And the Gemara is going to explain the reasons for all this. And also I remember, Shaya Ish Pleini Yetim Mibesa Sefer, that this guy would leave school, Litva to go to the mikvah, lechol betruma to eat truma. And therefore he's a kohen. Or, sheyachelik imanu lageiren, he would divide truma with us at the granary, where they divided the truma. Or, he's believed to say, amokam azeh beis pras. This is a beis pras. What's a beis pras? A field that there were graves in, but has been plowed over. And therefore the din is like this. Because it's plowed, the bones became very, very small. Basically, because of the plow. So there's no more tumah there left. Because even if it's tumah, in order to make something tumah, it has to be a certain size. If it's ground up completely, then it's not going to become tumah. So this is what's called a beis pras. So he says, I remember that this place, when I was a kid, they said it's a beis pras. And also I remember, Ad Kano Yinu Boim B'Shabbos. This is how far we walked outside the city on Shabbos. You know, you have Tchum Shabbos, right? You can't walk more than 2,000 Amos outside of a city. So the kid says, when he was an adult, he said, I remember when I was a kid, when we went for a walk, Shabbos afternoon, we walked until here. So he believed in all these things. Basically, the bottom line is, these are all rabbinic. And the Gemara is going to explain each one individually. And therefore he's believed. But, ein emanim, by the guy as an adult, is not believed to testify when he was a kid, that, so-and-so had a path in this place, meaning like this. A guy bought a field inside another field. Okay? So let's say, this is a bunch of fields. And a guy bought a field in this place, in middle. But he only bought that middle field. He didn't buy a path. Right? Oh, we don't know. He has no proof. So what happens if this 15-year-old says, I remember when I was a kid that the guy walked through the field and he had a path. Is that valid enough test? And the Mishnah says that's not enough. Because this is a monetary issue. You want to extract the path from the other owners to give it to the guy in the middle, and you're extracting money with the testimony of a kid. Even though now he's an adult, but he's testifying what he saw as a kid. or Maimed al Mispad Hayil played b'makom hazeh. This guy had a place on this road to eulogize people. So again, he's saying that this guy had the rights to this path. That's what he's testifying. Then he's not believed. Because it's monetary issues, he's not believed. So the Mishnah says, in certain rabbinic things, this kid is believed to testify what he saw when he was a kid, but not when it comes to extracting money. So now the Gemara is going to discuss, is it by himself, or does he have to have another adult with him? Right. So the Gemara says, Amen Avuhun Ibrahim Rav Yeshua, okay? Vuhu Sheyesh Godul Ime. It's only if there's one adult together with him. Then he's believed. Okay? Meaning, when you need, like, for instance, Rashi explains, the kid is testifying, this is my father's signature. Yeah? He's only one witness though. So you don't have a proof that it's the father's handwriting. You need a second witness with him. Then he's believed. In other, in these cases where you need two witnesses, then it's fine. Or, by the way, Rashi says, let's say, remember the kid said, I remember this kid going to the mikveh to eat truma? Mm-hmm. Over there, one witness is enough. It's isur. Isur and hatter. It's not money. So then he doesn't need an adult. So Rav Huna says that this case, that the guy needs, that he's believed, certain parts of these cases, he needs a second guy with him. Okay? Now the Gemara says like this. The kid said, this is my father's signature, or my Rebbe's signature, or my brother's signature. Why do we need to say the same case three times? Why would I think father and Rebbe and brother are different from each other? So the Gemara says it very interestingly. Tzricho, I need all the cases. Why? The Iyashmin in Aviv, if it only said he would be believed on his father's signature, Mishum Dishchia Gabei, because the kid's always around his father, so he knows it. Avol Rabbi, but maybe his Rebbe, he wouldn't be believed to say it's my Rebbe's writing. So the Mishnah says, even his Rebbe, he's believed. Then the Mishnah says, Avol Rabbi Loi, no, V'yashminu Rabbi, if it only said his Rebbe, then I would say he's believed. Why? Mishum D'Islay Ainsa the Rabbi. He has fear and awe of the teacher. Therefore, his teacher's writing had a bigger impact on him than his father's. Abel Aviv, but maybe the father not. And then it says, V'yashmin hani tarti, if it let us know these two, yeah, I should think, you know why he's believed? Aviv, because Shechir Gabe, the kid hangs around his father. Rabbi, the Isli Aimsa, because he has the fear of his Rebbe. Abel Achiv, but a brother that doesn't have fear of him, and he doesn't hang around him, Aimalai, I would think maybe he's not believed on his brother's writing. Kamash Malan, and this is what the punchline in the Gemara is. Kiv and the Kiyam Shtaris Midrabanon, because this, you need to validate documents. Is only rabbinic, biblically. If you see a signature, we learned this in the Gemara before. If you see a signature, Minatayda, that's valid. A guy just can't come along and say it's forged. He has to prove it. So the Chachamim came along and said you need to validate documents. So because validating the document is rabbinic, the Chachamim said, listen, if this kid testifies that it's his father's or his Rebbe's or his brother's, he's believed, providing there's another adult with him. He needs to him and another adult. Then the Mishnah said like this. Zohar Ayisi Beplainis, one other case in the Mishnah said, I remember about this woman, she yatsa be'numa, she went out with a veil, and Bereisha Peru, her hand, hair was down. So Gemara said, my time, why is it believed? Because L'chayr, if you think about it, this is to extract money for a ksuba. Mm-hmm. He's testifying she was a psula, and therefore she gets 200 instead of 100. So L'chayr, this testimony is extracting money. Why is he believed? So the Gemara answers like this. Kiv and the Rev Noshim Sulis Nisas, because most girls get married as a virgin. So therefore, really, we assume she's a virgin anyway. It's only Gili Milzabama. It's only another publicly revelation that she's a psula. So therefore, we believe him. In other words, what the Gemara says is like this. His testimony is not extracting the money for the ksuba. Because most women, if there's a question, is she a psula or not? The Gemara says the assumption is she was a psula. Because most women get married as a psula. This kid is just coming to validate that. But he's not actually extracting money because of it. He just makes the point stronger.
If they go to court without this kid, do we say that the woman, they have a chazaka?
Yeah.
So we don't need him. What is the point?
That's what he's saying. The kid is just to... Like he says, Gili Milsa Ba'alma. He's saying that the assumption that she was a virgin is correct. So it adds a little bit of power to it. But that itself wouldn't be able to do it. Because it is extracting money. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. The guy says, this kid was in my class, and he went out of school to tevel in the mikveh to eat truma. Right? This is what... So therefore, the Gemara is saying that this kid is believed to say he's a kohen. Mainly he has a din of a kohen. Right? Now, the Gemara has a problem with that. Because maybe, how do you know he's a kohen? Maybe he's the goyish slave of a kohen. And that's why he's eating truma. This kid is testifying that this guy is a kosher kohen. That's what the Gemara Mishnah says. He says, I remember this kid went to the mikvah to eat truma. Right? So therefore, I'm saying he's a kohen, and the din is, we give him the lineage of a kohen because of it. Right? But the Gemara is going to ask a question, and the Gemara is alluding to a question. Maybe he's not a kohen. A goyish slave of a kohen, the pasuk says, could eat truma.
What's he doing in the mikvah?
Because he can't be tameh. Even an eved, kanani, a goyish slave of a kohen is allowed to eat truma, but he can't eat it when he's tameh. So the Gemara is saying, from here you see that you're not allowed to teach an eved Torah.
But goyish get tameh?
As an eved, yeah, because he's partial.
Yeah.
What? If he learns Torah, what's going to be? What's
going to
happen if he learns Torah?
No. Therefore, when the kid says he was in school with me and he left school to go to the mikveh to eat truma, he has to be a kohen. Because the eved of a kohen is not allowed to learn Torah. He's not allowed to study Torah. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Even the kids, they have to go to the mikveh? The kids of the
kohen? Yeah, sure.
Not adults? Only
kids? Adults also.
I mean, kids too? And yeah. The bar mitzvah?
Yeah, they're tummy. Not nowadays.
No, but those times.
Sure. The Gemara says that in the days of Rechen and Kohen Gadol, they found out that even the little kids, tiny babies, were experts in the laws of purity and impurity. They knew everything.
No, I heard that, but they were mechuyav. Mechuyav to go to mikveh?
If they're tummy, to eat truma, they had to.
Let me
see.
Whoa! Hi, how are you, Rabbi?
Tchis amesim.
They say good to see you.
Hey, Rabbi. Resurrection.
It's good to see you, Rabbi. Barry?
Hi.
Okay, let's go. In the middle. Okay, so the Gemara's question over here is, the guy is testifying that I remember when I was a kid, this kid was in my class, and he went to the mikvah out of school to eat truma. So the Gemara says that proves he's a good kohen. So the Gemara says, Dilma Eved kohen hu. Maybe he's only the servant of a kohen. How do you know he's a full-fledged kohen that can marry and everything else? Maybe he's maybe he wasn't Eved. Now, by the way, Rashi says an interesting point over here. It's not about this guy eating truma, because even if he is a slave, still, he could still eat truma, because he's a slave. So obviously this slave became free. Now the question is he an eved? I mean, is he a legitimate kohen or not? That's the question over here. Right? So now this kid comes and testifies, and I remember when I was a kid, that he ate truma. Right? So therefore he's a Kohen, and therefore we establish him as a full-fledged Kohen. But the Gemara says, maybe then he was an Eved of a Kohen, and that's why he ate Truma. But now that he's freed, he's not a Kohen, he never was a Kohen. So the Gemara says, from here you see, Misayile le Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says like this, Asa la'adam shaliyal lamedes avdei teira. It's forbidden for a Jew to teach his goyish a slave Tatum. That's what he says. Okay? Therefore, the fact that this Eved, or this kid, went to the mikvah to eat truma, he couldn't be an Eved. Because if he'd be an Eved, he wouldn't be allowed to be learning Tatum in the school.
Can he learn written Torah?
Even a goy could do that.
Right?
Yeah, even a goy can do it. Right.
You can sit down with a goy and actually go through the chumash with
it? Yeah, goy is allowed to written Torah, but not oral Torah. Unless if it pertains to the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach that he has to keep.
How is it proof from here that we cannot teach, or because of we don't teach, that's why?
Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, this is a proof to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says a din. A Jew cannot teach his goyish ever Torah.
Yes.
Okay, he can't. From this din, there's a proof to it.
Why?
Because this kid, who's now an adult, is testifying, I remember this kid, that he went to the mikveh and ate truma. So therefore he must be a kohen. The Gemara's question, maybe he's an eved. The fact that the guy ate truma, how do you know he was a real kohen? Maybe he was only the eved. Yeah, and that's why he's eating truma. So the Gemara says, because that proves that this din is like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Because if it would only be an Eved of a Kohen, he couldn't be in yeshiva learning. Because according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the slave of a Jew, a goyish slave of a Jew, cannot learn Torah. The fact that this kid was learning Torah proves he's not an Eved. Right? And the fact that this guy testifies now that I remember when I was a kid, this guy went to the mikveh to eat truma, shows he must be a kohen. But the Gemara is going to ask, it's not true, because we know that you could teach a goy she'eved Torah. So Gemara says, v'loi. It says like this. But Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Listen to this. Love menu rabbi. If a slave's master borrowed money from his own slave, or she'asa rabbi apetukei, apetrupus, he made him an administrator or over his
state.
Or she'niach tefillin lefnei rabbi, or the eved put on tefillin in front of his master. Or she'kadosh leish psukim bebeis haknesses, or he read three verses of Torah in the shul. Harezel lo yotzel lechedis, he's still not free.
Is it not what?
Free. In other words, like this. a goy she'eved is only obligated in mitzvah sake a woman. Okay. Now, if we know that this guy put on tefillin, this eved, doesn't that show that he was freed?
No, it just shows that he's Jewish, maybe.
Yeah, but eved kanani, I should have said this. Eved kanani, okay, we mentioned this last night, but I should have. Eved kanani, you buy your goyish slave, you give him a bris and you take him to the mikveh right away. He's still a goy. You give him a bris, take him to the mikveh. He's obligated then, all the mitzvahs women have to keep. All negative commandments, all positive mitzvahs not connected to, mamish like a woman.
So it's Phil.
One in. If he gets freed, for whatever reason, he becomes a full-fledged Jew.
Right.
He has to go to mikveh again, but full-fledged, no bris again. He becomes a full-fledged Jew.
They don't have to take him no double, 20% off.
No double, yeah.
Even if he doesn't want to be a Jew?
No, the first 12 months that you buy him, if he refuses to get a bris and refuses to be this, then you, after 12 months you have to let him go. But the guy who agreed to be an Eved, he agreed to be circumcised, he agreed to go to the mikveh, he's obligated, mamash like a woman. Now, a woman's not allowed to put on tefillin.
Are you supposed to warn him that he's going to be a Jew?
So this Eved is not allowed to put on tefillin. So now the question is like this. The fact that the Eved put on tefillin in front of his master basically shows that he's telling you, you know, I'm a free man. I'm not your slave anymore. That means you freed me. Yeah. Or, normally the din is, a Goyish slave, whatever he owns, belongs to the master. Right?
So the master couldn't be borrowed.
How could he borrow money from his slave? Right. You borrow from money from yourself.
Right, that's right.
Whatever the slave owns belongs to the master.
Right.
So now the Gemara is saying, L'cha'eda, these cases seem to show a proof that he was freed. So the Braisa says, no, he's still not freed.
Okay.
It's not a proof that he's freed. So the Gemara says a few cases. Either the master borrowed money from him, and like you said, how could he borrow money from the slave? The slave doesn't have any money. Or he put on tefillin, or he read three psukim in the shul. It means he's called for the tzayda for an aliyah, which an eved cannot. So it says he still doesn't go out free. Okay. It doesn't prove that the master freed him. But what do you see from there? The guy could be an eved. And he read three psukim in shul. He had an aliyah. That means he was learning Torah. Mm-hmm. How could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say an Eved is not allowed to learn Torah when this Braisa says he's an Eved? It's not a proof that he's free. He's still an Eved, and yet he learned Torah. He got called off an aliyah to read the psukim. So Gemara says like this. There's a difference between the Braisa and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's case. Hasim ikre Eved midaiti. Over there, the slave went on his own and did it. Kika amninu, when is our law applied? The konoeg baminig bonim, when the master teaches him Torah. In other words, like this. A master cannot teach an Eved Torah. But on his own, the Eved could do it. Now, Yeshua ben Levi's din was, you cannot teach a slave Torah. So Gemara says, how could the Eved read in shul? The father didn't do it. The master didn't do it. He did it on his own. So it's not a problem. It's not a contradiction.
The community would know if he's a slave or not. Calling up the Torah.
He went. People didn't know. Maybe he went to a shul where they didn't know him. Could be that he did it on his own. Not when the people know him.
What about borrowing money from his slave?
Huh?
What about borrowing money?
No, it says, the master said, you know what, you can deal with the finances of my estate. Because he was a very smart Eved. Yeah, and the master was busy. So the master could tell the Eved, you know what, you deal with the estate. You buy things. So he had his own account for the master, but he had his own account, so the master borrowed money from him.
Yeah, so in other words, it's not really borrowing, it just looks like it.
Right. Mm. You have a similar din, don't tell this to the women. Apidin, whatever a woman owns belongs to the husband. But if the husband says, you know what, if you work, the money is yours, it's hers. So then the husband could borrow money from his wife. Right? Well, she's very rich when they get married. He's borrowing money from the... Right? That doesn't mean she's not divorced. That doesn't mean she's divorced. Same thing. Sometimes the master, like Yosef, right? Yosef, and there was an Eved of Potiphar, and he was running the whole household. So it's not. That's why the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, it's not a proof that he's free, even though he's behaving like a free man, right? So he says like this: when the master would teach the kid Torah, the Eved, people will think. Then he's like any one of his children, and therefore he's a full-fledged Jew, and they'll make him marry a Jewish girl, which he's not allowed to. He's still an Eved, right? So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi says he can't teach him. But if a guy does it on his own, he does it on his own.
And he put on tefillin on his own?
Yeah.
In front of his master.
Yeah. What should he do? Stone him? So then is he still not free? Okay, then the Gemara says like this. He's believed to say, the Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah, that he's believed to say the kid went to the mikveh and ate truma. Right? Now, we said before, this kid is only believed in rabbinic laws, not biblical laws. So Gemara says, speaking with truma drabanan, rabbinic truma. In other words, like this, Eretz Yisrael has biblical truma. But there's certain surrounding countries that they captured, which is only rabbinic truma. So when is this kid believed to say that this guy went to the mikveh to eat truma is by rabbinic truma, not by biblical truma. So again, the Gemara says now another thing. It says, Shayuchelik imanu al agaydim. The first case was he went to school, went to the mikveh and ate truma. Or the next statement the Mishnah says, this kid testifies that when he was a kid, he remembers this kid divided up truma with us in the granary. So the Gemara says, maybe Eved Kainu, I don't know, he's a full Kain, maybe he's an Eved, that also could eat truma. So maybe that's what he's eating over there. So it says, Tanik Kamandi Amad, in Chulk and Truma Levit, because this goes according to the opinion that says, you don't give truma to an Eved, Elam Ken Rabbi Imai, only if his Rebbe was with him. If his master was with him, exactly for this reason. The Mishnah says it then like this. If an Eved of a Kohen comes to the granary, he says, give me Truma. And people know he's an Eved, you're not allowed to give him Truma without his master there. Why? Because people will see this guy as an individual who's getting Truma. They might think he's a full-fledged Kohen. They're not going to know he's the Eved. So if he comes with the master, then you can give him truma. But otherwise, you're not allowed to give him truma.
So it's like Marasayan?
Yeah. Or it'll come to a mistake. In fact, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Even if the master doesn't come, this Eved can get truma. Why? Yachol Yehuda is able to say like this. Im kayin ani, if I'm a kayin, truly bishvil atzmi. Give me because I'm a kayin. Im evid kayin, truly bishvil rabbi. Give it because of my rabbi. So in other words, the Rabbi Taka holds, we're going to have a problem over here. Because the Gemara's question was, how do you know the fact that the kid was divided through in the granary? Shows he's a kayin. Maybe it was an evid of a kayin. So Gemara answer, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which our Mishnah is going by, he couldn't get truma as an Eved because an Eved cannot get truma unless if the master is there with him for the distribution. That's it. So the Gemara says like this. What's the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yehuda held, with the Mishnah we just brought down, you can't give truma to an Eved unless if the master is there, and Rabbi Yossi says you could. Right? So the Gemara says, what's the argument? Very simple. B'mkaymish or Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda lived, hayumaylim mitruma liyuchsin. The fact that somebody got truma, they let him marry as a kohen. That means pure lineage. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't give him truma without the master there, because then people will think he's a kohen. B'mkaymish or Rabbi Yehuda, in the place of Rabbi Yehuda. They didn't make somebody from eating truma a regular kohen. Why? Because they said, listen, maybe the guy's an Eved. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, if this Eved comes to the granary, you could give him truma. But what are you afraid of? You're going to make him a full-fledged kohen? We don't do that in this place. Rabbi Yehuda, though, maintained that if a guy eats truma, it's good enough to make him a full-fledged kohen. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to be careful. You can't give an Eved truma unless if his master is with him.
What was the argument that you're allowed to give it without the master there? What was, because why?
Because in his city, just because a guy ate truma, did not make him a kohen.
Oh, I see, okay.
So we're not afraid that you're going to think he's a real kohen.
Right, in that city, okay.
In that city where Rabbi Yossi lived, that's
different rules.
Different rules. Okay, now the Gemara says an interesting statement of Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yossi. He says like this, I never testified about somebody eating truma. And why? He says, because pam achas, he added tea. One time I did say testimony that a guy ate truma. And I was wrong. He was an eved. And they accepted my testimony. And they made him a kohen. Hmm. So the Gemara right away, yes, it can be. A tzaddik. Something bad to come to a tzaddik is not going to happen. But he said like this, I never testified about anybody eating truma because I was afraid. One time I did it for whatever reason, he didn't say, he did it. And because of that, the way the statement is now, they made the guy a full-fledged kohen.
This is an eved?
Yeah.
A non-Jewish eved?
Yeah.
They made him a kohen?
Yeah, because they didn't know he was an eved.
Wow.
He testified the guy ate truma. So he thought, okay, he's a full-fledged kohen, and they made him a full-fledged kohen.
So
the Gemara says, 1 minute. The Gemara says, Helu Salka Daitach? Are you telling me that God allowed that to happen, that they made him a fool? The Gemara says, Hash dem abehem dem shel tzaddikim. Even with the animals of a tzaddik. Okay? Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol hayodim. God doesn't bring a transgression. Through animals of tzaddikim, a tzaddikim atzman lekosagim. You tell me a tzaddik, God should have... The Gemara says like this. You bring down to the bottom. There's a famous story in the Gemara that Pinchas Ben-Yoyah had a donkey. Famous donkey that Pinchas Ben-Yoyah. In fact, the Gemara says in Shabbos, if the earlier generation were like angels, we're people. If the earlier generations were people, we're donkeys, and not like the donkey that Pinchas Ben-Yoyah. What's the story with the Pinchas Ben-Yoyah's donkey? He had this miracle donkey. Pinchas Ben-Yoyah, one time Goyim came and they kidnapped his donkey. Famous donkey that Pinchas Ben-Yoyah had. And when the Ganavim took him to their house, they gave him food to eat. But the animal only ate tithed food. It was such a holy animal. Mm-hmm. On his own, he didn't eat food that they didn't separate truma, mice, all that. So these Ganavim were not religious, whether maybe they were Goyim, gave this animal food to eat. The animal refused to eat it. This went on for a few days. So the robber said, what the heck are we going to keep this animal? He's going to drop dead on us anyway. So they let him go. Animals have the instinctive ability to the GPS to get home. So from the distance, the Pinchas Ben-Yoyah, the Gemara says, heard a donkey coming. And he said to the kids, hurry up and bring it food to eat. It hasn't eaten for days. Wow. He knew that his donkey wouldn't eat untied things. Wow. So you see that even the animals of tzaddikim, Hashem doesn't let anything bad happen. The tzaddikim themselves, for sure it can happen. So how can you say that because of Elazar, Rabbi Yossi made a mistake, they made the guy a kohen? It can't be. So the Gemara says, you're right. Big shulala, they didn't. They were thinking of doing it. Right? Now, so Lepel, they didn't make him into a kohen. So the Gemara says like this. Chazer b'asad Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, what happened was like this. He lived in the city of Rabbi Yossi. So he saw in Rabbi Yossi's city, remember Rabbi Yossi said, you don't make an eved a kohen based on eating truma? Remember? Yeah. That's why he said you can give an eved truma, because nothing bad is going to happen. So he tested, listen to this, he testified what he saw in Rabbi Yossi's city, that this guy ate truma. So therefore he thought he's a real kohen. But where did he testify this? In Rabbi Yehuda's city.
Where it doesn't matter, yeah.
Where it does matter, because they would make him a kohen from eating truma.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that was his mistake. Yeah. He didn't know there was a difference between the two cities. He saw in Abyeisi city that they gave this guy truma. So he thought he's a full-fledged Kohen. Apparently, he comes to testify in Rabbi Yehuda's city what he thought there, and that was wrong because in Rabbi Yehuda's city he wouldn't be believed. This is what the Gemara says.
So when they made him the Kohen, then suddenly they reversed it?
They found out before.
Oh, okay.
They found out before that it was attack in heaven, and therefore they caught it in time.
Boy, that was close.
Close call. It could be that's why he only did it once. And that's why he probably never did it again.
Yeah,
could be. Okay.
Too dangerous.
Huh?
It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous business.
No, but God saved him from...
transgressing.
Not transgressing. Because of his testimony, something bad would happen. We said the same logic as by Adam Zaymanman. You know, the witnesses that you say, how can you tell if you were with us? Say, if the guy was killed, then you don't kill him. Only if he wanted to kill him, you kill him. So one of the explanations is because if Bezman Lepearl killed the guy was supposed to get killed. God doesn't allow Tzaddikim and a Bezman to kill innocent people. It doesn't happen. If the guy died, was killed by Bezdin, he deserved to die.
Also a righteous
dying? Yeah, I'm saying a righteous dying would be tzaddik. That wouldn't, God wouldn't let things come. I told you there's a story with the Neid of Yehuda. But the bottom line of the story was, the Neid of Yehuda said, when you ask Rav a question, something's even life and death question, yeah? He's human, maybe he'll make a mistake. And yet Torah says you go by, you know, his decision. So he says, if he's a proper Rav, and he has help from God, God will never allow him to make a wrong decision when it comes to bottom line practical things. For his ego, yeah, God doesn't have to stick up for him, then he'd be the said.
If he never does anything by Mezid, he wouldn't do it by Shogun, right? There's such a thing, eh?
No, it says that why when the person commits a sin accidentally, does he need kapara? But he did it accidentally. And the classic example of it, not only by korbanos, you know, let's say desecrated Shabbos accidentally, especially let's say you killed somebody accidentally, God forbid, and the person has to run to the city of refuge, right? All the time. What did he do already? The guy was actually coming down a ladder and he fell on somebody and killed him. Well, what do you want from him? So the answer is, if the guy would have no connection to murder whatsoever, God would have never allowed such a terrible thing to happen through him. If a person is very careful and kashrus, God would never allow a mistaken trefa thing to enter the guy's mouth. The fact that the guy accidentally ate something not kosher shows that he has a lot of improvement to do. And for that, you need a kapara. If somebody desecrates Shabbos accidentally, right? The fact that God allowed him to do it, even though it was accidentally, shows that he's not keeping Shabbos properly.
I have a question.
What?
If the elbow accidentally hits a button, but he had no intention.
That's not accidental.
His elbow hit the button.
You should have been between Mincha Maariv tonight.
We
talked about that.
We did?
Wow. Well, you... We did.
Right. Well, so what's the story with this? So
no,
this
accidental by Shabbos means I know what I'm doing, but I think it's allowed.
Oh. So then it would be different. What happened?
One second.
Okay.
For instance, somebody flicks a switch on Shabbos.
Right.
There's two ways of being shaygig.
Right.
One way is he didn't know you're not allowed to do it.
That's right.
Or he forgot it was Shabbos.
Right. And what about there's one more?
No, that's shaygig. Or, yeah, if a Rebbe, if you ask a shalat to a Rav, and he made a mistake, and you did it, you also have to bring a carbon.
Well, but there's another one.
No.
Yeah, if you bump it to a switch.
No, that's not accidental.
That's
what I'm saying.
Okay. So there's no kapara brought for that?
No.
Okay.
Accidental in Torah means I know what I'm doing, but I thought I was allowed to do it.
Understood.
In other words, like we said, the case is before by Mincha. You wake up in the morning, you're half asleep.
Yeah.
You go into the bathroom and you flick the switch.
Whoops.
Whoops. It's Shabbos today. Shabbos. You knew what you were doing.
Right.
You forgot it was Shabbos. Right. So but you knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing. So then you bring a card. But if you're standing against the wall, and by mistake, the light goes on, that's not, you didn't know what you were doing. That's called misafik.
When you're walking in front of those electric lights on Shabbos.
Goodbye.
A vart? What, yeah.
Yours?
I think you would have been there if I had.
When you make a vart for yourself, don't do it Tuesday night.
Oh, well, I try to make a vart.
You know those lights, those automatic lights on Shabbos that people have in front of their houses? You walk past it.
Yeah, but if you know it's there, it's a problem.
Right, if you don't know it's there, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
There's no COVID.
Rabbi.
What?
My mother takes Shomer Shabbos very, very seriously. She's always been remembered everything, keeps everything. She was in a deep, deep sleep Friday night once. After, it was late. Some reason, somebody called long distance. She was sleeping. In her sleep, she picks up the phone, she starts talking, and after about 2 minutes, she goes, "Oh my God!" She goes, "What am I doing? I can't..." What is she...
That's shaking.
Means what? She has to bring a...
Well, there's no base to make, don't worry about it.
She felt horrible. She felt so...
Okay,
bad.
That's tshuva.
Yeah.
Okay, now, then, the next thing in the Mishnah was, the guy said this is a base of pras. What's a base of pras? We said, there are graves here, there are not graves, they had dead people buried there, and the field was plowed, so the plowing actually disintegrated the bones, so there's no bone which is big enough to transmit tumor. So he's believed to say this was the base of pras. So Gemara says, my time, why is this kid believed? So then there's base of pras the Rabbanim. It's only rabbinically forbidden. Okay? Why? The Amr of Yud, Amr Shmuel, of Yud, this is the name of Shmuel, Minafeach Adam Beis HaPras V'Hilach. A person could blow on the ground, let's say, either a person or a Kohen. In those days, everybody had to be careful about Tumah. Because they had to go to Beis HaMikdash or eat Kobanas, whatever. So it says like this, if there's a Beis HaPras, again, a Beis HaPras is a field that there were graves, and then the field became plowed over, and biblically, there's no Tumah left anymore. Because you assume that there's no bones big enough to transmit to. Chacham said, you still gotta be careful. So therefore the Gemara says, if a guy wants to walk in the base of pras, he could blow on the ground, because then if there'd be any bones, he would see it, and then he can keep walking. Why? Because the whole tumah, base of pras, is only rabbinic. So therefore the Gemara says, this kid is believed what he tested as an adult, what he saw as a kid, because it's only midrabbanim. And then the Gemara says, he says like this, Beis HaPras Shed Nidash, a Beis HaPras that was trampled by many people. It wasn't plowed. No, I'm sorry, it was plowed. But also, it's also Tohar. My time of why? Efshel Etzim Kaserish Lindigosh Beregel. It's not possible that a bone the size of a barley, which is the size to transmit tumor, wasn't stepped on by people. You know, the Gemara says, a base of pras that you can either blow and see if there's any bones and keep walking, or if it was trampled by so many people, you can assume there's no bone there big enough to transmit tumor. And therefore, this kid is believed. Because it's only, again, a rabbinic question. Is there a tumah there or not? Biblically, there's no tumah there. So therefore...
What is the kid testifying in?
That I remember that this was a base of pras that people walked in. Also, he says, Ba'ad kana yinu boim b'Shabbos. This is how far we walked on Shabbos, you know, to the end of this place. Because at Chum Shabbos, he believed. So Gemara says, why? Because Sava, this opinion holds, Chumim drabanan. That the mitzvah, the sin of Tchumim, going out 2,000 amos out of a city, is only rabbinic. Rabbi Kiva holds it biblical. So if you hold it biblical, the kid wouldn't be believed. Because he's testifying what he saw when he was a kid. But because it's only rabbinic, so therefore he's believed. What?
This applies nowadays too?
Tchum Shab, yeah.
Walking?
Yeah, and for instance, you have... You go to a camp in the mountains or in the country. If there's no houses around, you can only go 3,000 feet.
Oh, There's no house.
So you have a little bit over half a mile. No, if there's houses, it's all part of the city. In fact, there was a big shaila in New York. Can you walk from Brooklyn to Manhattan over the bridge? Is that more than Tchum Shabbos?
Right.
But
you can see.
On the bridge? On the water?
But you can see ahead? Don't you have to be able to visibly see buildings?
No. But no, they allow it. I mean, the truth is allowed, but... No, there is a concept of Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 Amis outside of a city. Again, in the city doesn't apply. The whole city is 4 Amis.
But it's
still New York City.
Yeah, but it's a separate borough, separated by a lake, or by a river. What?
1,000 Amis is not a lot, huh?
3,000 feet.
It's not a lot.
It's a little bit over half a mile.
Not that much.
No. 2,000 Amis is a Persian mill. It's called a mill. A mill is, it's called, it's trying to know why it's trying to a Persian mile.
Parsa.
No, Paris is 4 mil.
Parsa.
Huh?
Yeah.
Paris is 4 mil. There's a mill, which is 2,000 Amis. And then you have a Parsa, which is 4 mil. What's the Parsa in Farsi?
Parsa.
No, what? How big is it?
Oh, it's 7,000 meters, 7 kilometers. I think 6 kilometers.
Okay, so that's 4 mil.
Yeah.
4 mil is 8,000. Is 16? Huh?
4 miles.
It's less than 4 miles. No, 4 mil.
Well, this kilometer is 4 miles.
Yeah, but I'm saying 4 mil equals a parsa. That means it's 8,000 amis. Even if you count, let's say, a foot and a half to 2 feet. So it could be, yeah.
I don't use them anymore, no? No. Old measurement.
It's old measurement.
When there were caravans.
No, but didn't it apply? I mean, even the camps today applies in the mountains. Remember when we were in camp in Detroit, there's campers and counselors. They know you can only walk up to this place, and that's it. Yeah. It's not a lot. It's like less than a mile. You want to go for a Shabbos afternoon walk.
That's it.
You can't go that far. A guy goes camping in the mountains. Yeah, without cabins around. You're sleeping in a tent. Yeah? You only have 2,000 amis from your tent. In any direction. If you want to go further, you may put 8 of tchumim down at the end of 2,000 amis. Then you can go in that direction, only another 2,000 amis. So it's a machaikis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chum, if it's midrabanan and minateira. So Gemara says, if it's minateira, then the kid wouldn't be believed. But because this Mishnah holds it's midrabanan, he's believed.
The reason of this is because we don't
want to, tircha in Shabbat? Yeah. No, it says, ayeti ish mumkeime. I mean, there's certain things that, Torah says, psukim. Ayeti ish mumkeime. But, Marshall, there's the Jewish camp, was 12 mil by 12 mil. When the Jews camped in the desert, right, so the Mishkan was in the middle, then you had the tribes, you know, around, yeah? So Gemara says the camping in the Midbar was 12 mil by 12 mil, so square. Because they had, you know, three tribes, right? Yeah? So it's 12 mil by 12 mil. So Gemara says that walking more than 12 mil on Shabbos, according to all opinions, is biblical.
That's biblical.
That's biblical, according to all opinions. The 2,000 Amis story, that's an argument if it's Minatari Minarabad.
Is that from Shlomo Amalek?
No. Making an eid of is Shlomo Amalek, but not the actual din. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. But the Mishnah said, Ein amonim leimar, he's not believed to say, that this guy had a path, you know, on this road, or, this guy had a standing spot for eulogizing, you know, people, which means it belonged to him. So the Gemara says, he's not believed for that. So the Gemara says, my time, huh? Why not? He says like this. You can't extract money based on such a testimony, because not real testimony. The guy is testifying what he saw when he was a kid. How do you know he saw right? He's testifying now. He's an adult, but he's testifying maybe when he was a kid he didn't know what he was seeing. So to extract money, you can't. If it's a biblical law, you can. If it's a rabbinic law, the Chacham said he's believed. Then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabban Rabban Olet. Namen Atinik Leimak. A kid is trusted to say. Again, when he reaches an adult, Rashi says. That what? Kach Amali Abba. My father told me. Mishpacha Zu Tahera. Mishpacha Zu Tmeya. This family is pure. This family is not pure. So the Gemara says, Tahera Tmeya Sakadaitach. When others, Torah and Tommy get here. Gemara says, no, what it means is, Mishpacha zu kshede, Mishpacha zu pshula. Ipsula. A kid is believed, when he becomes an adult, to say, my father told me this family is kosher lineage, and this family is not kosher lineage.
And you believe that?
You believe the kid.
Really? Maybe the father just had some kind of a vendetta against one of the families, you know?
No.
Why believe the kid just because of that?
Even without second witness?
It'd be lashon hara for you.
So he brings on over here that the Ran holds, this is not a case when we, let's say we know for sure they weren't good, and the kid says they were good, or the opposite. It's speaking as, we don't know, but there's a suspicion on a family. Not a definite. There's a suspicion on the family, if they're kosher lineage, not kosher lineage. So then the kid is believed to say what he says. That my father told me they're kosher, not kosher. And also he says, V'shachalno, the Braisa says, V'ktsasa shalbas pleini. We ate the ketsatsa, and the Gemara is going to explain what that is, of this and this person. V'shayumalichin chalam atonis lepleini kain. He's also believed to say, they brought kain gifts to this guy, they brought chala, not chala from the bakery, chala that you separate the dough that goes to the kain. He's believed to say, people brought gifts of a kain to this family, that they're a proper kain. But it sounds like this. I they atzme, only if he himself delivered the gifts. Avaleya de achem, and not if somebody else delivered the gifts. Meaning like this. The kid is believed to say, the Braisa says, that we used to send gifts to this and this family for a kohen. He's only believed, the Gemara says, if the kid says, when I was a kid, my father sent me to bring them these things. But if the kid testifies, my father sent those gifts to those other people with somebody else, he's not believed. Why? Because maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about.
It has to be first hand.
Because if he wasn't personally involved,
he
might be mistaken. Like we all know, if you're personally involved, you usually don't make such mistakes. When you're not personally involved, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. But kulan, in all cases, it says, "Imaya eved kochavin this guy." What happens is that this guy was a guy that converted. Now he's testifying as a Jew what he saw when he was a guy. Or eved v'nishtacher, he became free. In other words, like this, the Braisa is saying, the Mishnah is saying, that a kid, as an adult, can testify what he saw as a child. But the Gemara says, if a guy became a Jew, and he testifies what he saw as a guy, he's not believed.
No,
one minute. Huh?
Really?
What,
he didn't see the same thing back then as a guy as he did now?
Same thing.
It's the same eyes.
The Gemara is going to say why soon. It's a very simple concept, even before what the Gemara is going to say. A Jewish kid, under Bar Mitzvah, is only missing time. He doesn't need an action to become a full-fledged Jew. Right? A Jewish kid.
Right.
Yeah? By time itself, he becomes a Jew. A guy who has to convert, an eved that needs to be freed, that's a whole different perspective. It's not automatic.
About that, only as far as boy becomes Jew, but as far as boy becomes adult, is the same thing. Boy becomes adult, is the same thing, Jew or non-Jew, the same
No, the Gemara is going to explain whether a guy is particular, what he sees when he saw it.
As a kid?
The Gemara says a kid, yes, and a guy, no. That's the argument. One opinion said, by the way, they are believed. It's goyim. But that's the argument in the Gemara. If they're believed or not.
In general, we do not believe in goyim.
Only Masiach Lafitume. That means if it happens to tell a story,
yeah.
He comes back on the road, and he says, oi, Nabuch, this and this guy was such a nice guy, and he died on the way, and we buried him. They're coming to testify. He's coming to tell us a story.
Then he, the bar drinking
then coffee. He's believed that the guy's wife can marry. But if a guy wants to testify, he's not believed. If a guy comes to court and says, I was there when this guy died, we buried him, and, you know, he, it's not good. If he comes, tells a story, like you're more practical. We were sitting in the bar and the guy drank too much and he died and we buried him and was such a nice guy, he knew how to drink, you know, whatever. Then he would be believed.
Because they're not vested in it. There's
because there's no vested interest in it. He's just telling us the story. He's not even testifying. So then he has nothing to gain.
Right.
But if he's coming to testify, he has a very possible motive to gain.
Right.
And therefore he wouldn't be believed. Okay, then it says like this. The kid is not believed, the Jewish kid. You know, he had a path in this road. By the way, okay. The guy is believed. If he becomes a Jew, he is believed to testify what he saw when he was a guy. So the Gemara says 1 minute. Which case are you talking about? Ile ma safe about money. A guy can't testify to extract money. He's testifying what he saw as a kid. I mean, as a guy. But the guy is not believed. El Aresha. That what? Which states? Vakulim and Moya, the Chavim and this guy, ever been ishtachet, ain't a money they're not believed. Marshall, like, the girl went out with the veil and all the other cases in the Mishnah, there's a base of pras. Rabbi Yechim and Breik Oim and Amon, they are believed. So Gemara says, B'maikam Afligi, what's the argument if a guy is believed or not? He says, Tanakam Asava, our opinion holds, given the Vichavim who, because he was a guy at the time he witnessed it, Lo have a dike, he would not be precise to know what he's looking at. Rabbi Yechim and Breik Oim, given the dike, because he's intending to convert, may the daiki he is.
Because what?
Because he's planning to convert, so he's more particular in testifying.
I see.
So the Gemara said, my ketzatza. So it says, Tzadon Rabbani, ketza ketzatza, what's a ketzatza? It sounds like this is a weird case. Echem in achem shenasi isha shenei genesli. Well, the custom was like this. If a guy had a family, one of the brothers married a girl from not a proper lineage, not a kosher lineage. So the family comes. They bring a barrel full of fruit. They break the basket in the middle of the street. They say, listen guys, our brother, this and this guy, he married a woman that's not kosher. And we're afraid his kids are going to end up mixing with our kids. Come and take yourself a token for generations. Meaning, take some fruit to remind yourself of this din. That he shouldn't mix up with our kids. And that's ktsatsa that the kid is believed to say there was a ktsatsa story. That means he's believed to say a ktsatsa happened and the girl was not a kosher girl.